Welcome back. Chucky's come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bishcake, CB, and JP. We'll get into Pete Rose coming up at 8:20. Your chance to win Metallica tickets later this hour as well, but joining us right now, talk about the rookie quarterbacks and what he's seeing on film as a former New York Jets scout. You can follow him on X at First Round Mock. It's Daniel Kelly. Welcome back, Daniel.
Hey, thank you so much for having me back in the show, guys. I love to be on.
So, Daniel, let's start with Jaden Daniels because everybody is on cloud nine here in D.C. He's been better than advertised, better than expected. What were your expectations going in and what have you seen so far?
Well, it's really been an incredible study. I mean, going into the 2024 NFL draft, I had a third round grade on Jaden Daniels, and what I saw there at LSU was I had three major concerns coming into the National Football League. Number one was his very thin, frail frame that he had, you know, how thin he is. And how that was going to hold up in a very violent, NFL in a league that's not really that kind to the running quarterbacks. The second concern I had was just a slower processing time. According to PFF, his time to throw is 2.91 seconds. And I couldn't quite figure it out because he had a top 10 offensive line at LSU. He had Brian Thomas Jr. at one wide receiver, first round draft pick. He had Malik Nabers, first round pick at the other receiver. And I was like, why is it taking so long for him to get the ball out of his hands? And why is he running this much? So that was a concern too. Then the third thing was just that how he looked like he was filled with anxiety, guys, in the pocket. He had what we call in scouting happy feet. He was bouncing all around, which really the concern there was it was really affecting his ball placement in the short to intermediate route levels, you know, about that 0 to 19 yard level. So I put a third round grade on him. I said, listen, this is an ideal backup guy. And what we've seen, I sat down yesterday and really marinated in all four games and just turned on the film before our show. And what I saw was, well, really starting the preseason, and it was really it just kind of jumped off the screen at me, was how relaxed he looked. We didn't see that at all at LSU. That wasn't on his game film at all, how comfortable he looked in that offense. And it's just a few brief snaps he played in the preseason. And that's not only carried over to the regular season. There's an old saying in the National Football League, the game is won from the neck up. And the confidence level that Jaden Daniels is playing with right now in Cliff Kingsbury's offense is off the charts. He's playing with superstar level confidence and swag and energy and excitement, and you can see it permeate the entire team. That didn't show up there. It's showing up now. That's the biggest difference. That's why he has the number four QBR in the National Football League right now, and that's why he has the Washington Commanders on the move. They're not even talking about this guy for rookie of the year. They're talking about how he could be the NFL MVP. It's been stunning. It's been an interesting study for me on game film because he looks like a different guy than he did at LSU.
Amazing. And then the guy that you were kind of anti is Caleb, right? And Caleb's been up and down.
Yeah, Caleb Williams, I mean, I had a fourth-round grade on him coming out, and I took a lot of heat for that. And
he went 1-1.
I know. That's why I almost have to turn off my comments on Twitter. he's one of only two players in my life I've ever put a 100% bust rate on pre-draft. The other being Will Levis, who's had his share of struggles with the Tennessee Titans. I had a seventh-round grade on Levis. He was coming out, 100% bust rate coming out of Kentucky. But with Caleb Williams, it was just, you know, there's two different versions of Caleb Williams. There's the version the media shows, the fictional character in social media, where it's nothing but highlights for 2 years at USC. And then there was the full body of work on the game film. I watched and evaluated every single snap Caleb Williams took, studied it, rewinded it, you know, have notebooks full of notes on every snap he took at USC. And when you looked at his full body of work, it was very concerning because, number one, his footwork was very inconsistent, to say it kindly. And what that translated to was very average ball placement in the intermediate to deep route levels of the field. And also, he led with a very inconsistent rhythm and tempo on that offense at USC. And I did a separate study. I said, okay, let's really break this guy down and see what he's made of. And what I found out, guys, was that, you know, a little chicken scratches my nose, that his highest percentage games at USC last season came in games where he threw between 44 and 62% short-range passes. And his lower completion percentages came in games where he threw less short passes. So it was like Lincoln Riley was keeping him on a real short leash, Kingsbury. They were keeping him on a short leash, and he was kind of like, you know, there was these highlights. I feel like all he really did at USC was just manipulate a bunch of lower-level college defenders. He was able to run around back there, you know, and do his thing. And you know, against college coverages, a lot of these guys won't even sniff an NFL locker room, no offense to anybody. But, you know, he was able to manipulate that situation. Well, what he's finding on the NFL, it's not quite as easy to manipulate NFL defenses. I mean, the game is faster. It's more complex. And the coverages are much tighter. There's much smaller throwing windows. And that's why I think we're seeing in Chicago right now with him having the number 29 ranked QBR is we're seeing a checkdown merchant. We're seeing a guy that the Bears themselves aren't confident with, not like Kingsbury is with Jaden Daniels. They're not really confident with Caleb Williams throwing the ball further downfield. There's a lot of short dump-off passes. And the rhythm and tempo he's bringing to the Bears offense, it's like listening to two different songs with a drummer playing different songs. It's completely out to sync, and that's why we're seeing the Bears, I believe, is the number 10th most penalized team in the league. We got, you know, the number two ranked, number two in false starts, number six in holding calls. He's running around back there. Hit the number one receiver last week in the game they won was DeAndre Swift, the running back. The number two leading receiver was the tight end they have. So his timing is completely off. It's not like Jaden Daniels, okay? His timing in Chicago is completely off with the receivers. They're not in sync at all. And it's showing up. And I think that I think the Bears are concerned, and I think they're trying to kind of hold back on letting people know just how concerned they are, because actions speak louder than words. And when you watch Caleb Williams on game film the way I have you in Chicago, you can see, like, the actions are speaking from the coaching staff. We have major concerns here. I mean, the Bears yesterday posted a hype video. I'm talking about the team itself posted a hype video of the punter. That's all bad things are in Chicago.
Right. Hey, we're joined by Daniel Kelly, former Jets scout at First Round Mock is where you find him on Twitter. How much of Caleb's struggles can you put on Bears offensive coordinator Shane Waldron? Because that's a guy that they couldn't wait to run out of Seattle. They love what they're getting in Seattle now with Geno Smith, the way that offense looks. How much of this do you put on Shane Waldron as far as maybe he's not putting Caleb in the best situations like Kingsbury is doing here with Jaden Daniels?
You know, that's a great question. I'm not, you know, I'm going to dismiss Shane Waldron right now as being the sole cause of this. I think he's actually knows what he's working with and is playing the Caleb Williams strengths right now. He knows what's happening. I mean, Kingsbury knew what was happening. That's why Kingsbury took the Washington job and didn't go to Chicago, in my mind. Okay, there's real concerns about Caleb Williams here, and I think he's trying to play within those while trying to protect a very fragile level of confidence. I mean, we watched Caleb Williams last year down the stretch have what I believe was an emotional breakdown. I mean, when he jumped into his mother's arms in the stands and cried. It's a very fragile situation. You don't want him to become too, you know, you don't want to lose his confidence where you try to build the confidence a little bit. But, you know, I don't think it's really Waldron because, again, I go back to the study I did last year, guys. And that's what he was in Chicago. He's not this fictional character that the draft media made up. He was a guy that threw a lot of short passes, had higher completion percentages when he was throwing shorter, higher completion percentage passes at USC. And everyone kind of expected him to show up with this cape on instead of the number 18. But the game film, I posted on my website all the games on the links to the games. When I watched the game film, it suggested that he's really more of a inconsistent game manager. That's why I comped him to Zach Wilson pre-draft, because he was just kind of a guy that was, you know, could run around a little bit. And the concern is to me, the number one concern in Chicago right now is the number one strength that Caleb Williams had coming out was what? It was his mobility and his athleticism, and it was his ability to get out of jams and bail out of the pocket. There's some reps I've watched where he doesn't even feel the pass rush coming. I don't know what's going on there, but he's not. It's a different Caleb Williams. It's a far less confident Caleb Williams than even was at USC. So I don't put the onus really on Shane Waldron or Matt Eberflus or anything else. I think it was just a matter of him being grossly and severely overgraded. And this is what happens when, unfortunately, a player is overgraded, is the expectations are higher than what the player can meet.
Joined by Daniel Kelly, former New York Jets scout. So a year ago, Bryce Young was in the Caleb Williams slot, drafted 1-1, and C.J. Stroud was number 2. What's happened with Bryce Young? We saw immediately Andy Dalton, a veteran, gets in there and changes that offense completely. Bryce Young broken, or was he overdrafted? What happened?
I had Bryce Young as my QB1, and I take complete ownership of that in the draft. I had C.J. Stroud number 2. I called C.J. Stroud generational 241 days on my website before the Texans select him. I still put Bryce Young number 1 because the reason why, he was showing a lot of the traits that translate to success in the National Football League. What do I mean? He was going through his progressions. You could see him in Alabama in game film, moving his head around, looking around, making multiple reads, not locking with one read like we see Shador Sanders doing a lot in Colorado. Number 2, his ball placement downfield was on point. He was able to move around and still to deliver the ball on point downfield. And number 3, he was protecting the football, good ball security. So he was showing a lot of the traits that I've identified that say, okay, this translates to success in the National Football League. What's happening in Carolina is a complete opposite. We've seen Jaden Daniels kind of become a different guy for the better. We've seen Bryce Young become a different guy for the worse. It's been a situation. To me, it's baffling, guys, because in Carolina, it's like, okay, we're going to draft a quarterback here, but what are we going to do first? I know Christian McCaffrey has the health issue right now, but they traded Christian McCaffrey. They ran him out of there. They got DJ Moore out of there. It seems like the support structure is very weak, and I'm not making excuses, okay? I own the great, but the support structure is very weak for Bryce Young there. I think if you take Bryce Young and put him with the Miami Dolphins, it's a completely different ballgame, just like we're seeing with Justin Fields going from the Bears to the Panthers, and we're seeing some of these other – I mean, Sam Darnold, everybody thought they were going to throw him away, and now he's up in Minnesota. They're talking about being a potential NFL MVP. Baker Mayfield, same thing in Cleveland. Now he's down in Tampa Bay doing his thing. So support structure matters, and I think the support structure for Bryce Young is very weak. C.J. Stroud has been – a matter of fact, he's been better than I thought he would be with the Texans. I mean, he jumped right out there. And, I mean, all these quarterbacks have struggled since 2021 coming on the draft in the first round. Only 2 guys so far have really, shown on film, the C.J. Stroud and Jaden Daniels, that they're able to make that leap right off the bat.
Hey, teams get desperate for quarterbacks. You're pointing out a few of those. And every year, quarterbacks are overdrafted. So based on the guys you're watching this year in college football, so the Shador Sanders of the world, Quinn Ewers, Cam Beck. Ward, Carson Beck. I think Milroe has become a really good college quarterback. He's much better of a passer than he was when he was behind Bryce Young now. But who knows? He's a great runner. Do you like or dislike any of those guys that'll probably be drafted high?
I do. I'm still, just to let you guys know where I'm at in this process as far as evaluating, is I'm still going through all the 2023 game film. I'm doing something new this year on my draft site, firstroundmock.com. I'm watching full seasons of these guys. I'm trying to eliminate any kind of margin of error that I can. Now, there's more variables in the picking these players than there is winning, picking the winning Powerball numbers. So I want to get as, Bill Belichick used to say when I worked there, we're in the information gathering business. So I'm trying to gather as much information as possible. So I'm taking in the entire 2023 season I took into these quarterbacks. And after the season, the whole month of December, when everyone else is out shopping, I'll be sitting in front of my my video and my tape. And I'll be watching all these quarterbacks you're talking about in the 2024 tape. So far, of 2023 tape, I really like Carson Beck. He was my top quarterback of 2023 film. QB2 was Quinn Ewers. Number 3 was Garrett Neusmeyer, who's not getting any publicity right now, but is actually having a pretty nice season this year, too. I'm excited to watch him out of LSU. Then Cameron Ward is my QB4. Reminds me a lot of Jalen Hurts, which when he was playing better than he is now. But those are the top 4 guys. Shador Sanders, I had a 6th-round draft pick, grade on him coming at Jackson State 2 years ago. I had undraftable free agent grade on him last year at Colorado. And I haven't moved. I've done all 4 games. That's one guy I am watching each game of and writing an article on. And I'm not moving him off my undraftable free agent grade right now.
Why do you hate him?
What's that?
Why do you?
Oh, I don't hate him. It's not hate. No, it's the thing of it is – I have posted on Twitter, I have 10, there's a list of 10 character concerns that I have with video evidence. I mean, he's out there poking a guy in the eyes at Colorado State last year. He's throwing his team under the bus, not taking accountability. His first answer to the thing is, hey, how many times did Raiola get hit? I mean, we're not taking accountability for what's happening in the pocket here. That's a huge concern. Another concern is, I don't know if he can play outside of playing for his dad. That's another concern. And also the medical concern. Last year he had a fractured bone in his back. Last week he took a wicked shot to the back where he went back to the turf. I think NFL teams really need to look into the medical on Shedeur Sanders. But it's not just that. It's the game film. He has too many inconsistency progressions, inconsistent release time, a lot of one-read lock-ins. I mean, they're playing to his strengths at Colorado. He looks like he's just about maxed out his ceiling at Colorado. It's very concerning to me. And just his he seems like an immature hothead, and I just don't think that translates well, plugging him into a team. And also, too, he struggles when he's moved off his spot. You know, when they make him move around, that he's inconsistent. You're going to a team with an average to below average offensive line. I think he's really going to struggle. I mean, if he didn't have the last name Sanders, I don't think he would even be in the discussion.
Daniel, always fun talking to you. It's Daniel Kelly, former New York Jets scout. You can find him on X at First Round Mac.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Daniel.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much, guys. Always fun being on your show. Take care.
All right. Thank you.
We like having him on because the guy's got strong convictions.
He's passionate about quarterbacks.
You know what?
And where
I do
where
love
he ranks
guys
them.
That just think their own thoughts, and they're not just going with the pack. Mm-hmm. Like, he gives guys six-round grades or
and he owns
off
it.
The board.
Yeah. He said he had Jaden Daniels as a third-round grade.
And he said he had Bryce Young as his 1-1, and he owned that miss.
He also said he thought if Bryce was in Miami, it'd be a totally different
it's
situation.
Possible. Time will tell. We'll see what happens with him over the next five to 7 years.
There has been, I don't know if the resurgence is the right word, but I'll use it anyway, a resurgence of kind of quarterbacks that we've given up on that have found new homes that are thriving. Sam Darnold being one, Baker Mayfield being another.
Joe Flacco, when he's called upon, does the same thing.
Doesn't matter where he is, yeah.
So, yeah, there's...
Well, there's been that, that thought that if Bryce Young went to a place that he just needs a change of scenery, and if he went to an offense that had better weapons, he'd be better, but we'll see if he actually has that chance.
But it is crazy that a guy who was known, at least Kelly, for being a guy who went through progressions, taking care of the ball, looked as lost as he has in Carolina, and then a veteran comes in like Andy Dalton and shows you the offense can work.
That Carolina offense looks pretty functional. The weapons look okay with Andy Dalton at the helm.
Yeah.
Like Deontay Johnson looks good with Dalton back there, and he didn't with Bryce Young.
Sometimes guys need
to go somewhere else.
True. Yeah. It might just be a situation where, rookies generally struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he was 1-1, he's struggling. And then you got the other guy in C.J. Stroud, or in this case, Jaden Daniels, thriving. But the general rule of rookies struggling and taking some time to get right. And Darnold and Mayfield looked much longer path and bounced around a little bit. But it was a couple seasons ago, it was looking... Didn't Baker play for three teams in 1 year? Or
yeah,
almost
he hopped
three
around
teams?
From Carolina
he was like
to
with the Rams for a moment.
And then to the Bucs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's had quite the odyssey.
But now he looks like he's going to be their quarterback for many years to come.
That's why they gave him a deal in the offseason.
Yep. 800-636-1067 is the number. When we come back, we will get into that Pete Rose situation. He passes away, and now maybe the conversation shifts, and you move him into the Hall of Fame. We'll tackle that next. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter. Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Come back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app. It is a free app. Download it. You can take us on the go. Kind of a tried and true sports talk radio topic over the years. This has been Pete Rose, Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And now with the passing of Pete Rose, the conversation comes up again. We put it up as the Chunky's poll of the day, brought to you by Scotty's Vodka, Maryland made, super smooth, loved throughout the DMV. Posthumously, do you put Pete Rose into the Hall of Fame? It's funny.
I would say yes. Like,
you're with the majority. It's only been up for a couple minutes, and it was like at 80% people voting. You vote
gambling
at Junk's
is so
Radio.
Widespread now, and all of the major sports leagues, you know, they're doing business with all of the legal sports books. And I understand he placed a bet on his own team. He did that, like, clearly against the rules. He paid his punishment.
Okay, bet.
Okay, multiple bets, whatever. He bet on his own team. He knew he couldn't do that.
I don't think there are any allegations, though, even though he did what we shouldn't have, that he ever bet against his team. Like, he just wasn't that kind of guy.
He's not like the 1919
right,
White Sox.
He had to know, like, deep down that I shouldn't be betting on
I'm sure
baseball, let alone my own team.
I'm sure he knew.
He didn't bet on his team every game, though.
What do you mean?
So, like,
he probably only bet when he thought they were going to win.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, which I have less of an issue with.
Did he really only bet on his team to win? He never bet on
that. We don't know.
Exactly. We don't know if he bet against his team.
I don't think there were any allegations with all the betting sheets and stuff that they found, the slips, the papers.
But shouldn't there be some standards, right? We talked about this last week. You got to have some standards.
Understood.
I brought this up a couple weeks ago with Eli Manning. I'm not an Eli Manning Hall of Fame guy.
He got his permanent banning or lifetime ban, whatever you want to call it, in 1989. Things change in society over decades.
Okay, but
decades ago.
If you murder somebody and get a life sentence,
okay, you're
then they go, well, that was 1989.
You're equating murder with gambling.
No, but I'm saying that if it is a lifetime ban, you don't just go, oh, okay, a bunch of years passed.
Look, he's one of the greatest players to ever play the game.
Yeah,
he made a huge mistake. He paid a price for it. He knew it was the wrong thing to do. He's now passed. Just hook up his legacy a little bit by putting him in the Hall of Fame.
Well, he's still... He's still there.
But he's got a lifetime ban.
He's the all-time hit king.
They're not going to put him in if he's got a lifetime ban. They're not going to lift it. It's just not. If it's up to us,
it's
different.
I mean, Rob Manfred could right a wrong by saying, look, the guy served his time. He did his time. He was a pariah to the sport for 30-plus years, 40 years. Let's honor him by putting him in the Hall of Fame.
He's already in the hall, right? He's all over the hall. He just doesn't have a bust. Like, he's got...
He's recognized as the hit king.
There are remnants or whatever.
Like
the hall
his family, I'm sure, wants his bust in the Hall of Fame.
I'm sure it would be better, but
I mean, he's dead now.
Yeah, but I do think it's important to look at the verbiage that they use. The word lifetime ban is never used. He's permanently ineligible. Yep, but now that he's died, like, I think he should be in, but really him dying shouldn't change anything according to the rule. Mm-hmm. I mean, Shoeless Joe Jackson has been dead for 100 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember his allegations, but they were throwing games.
Yeah,
that's different. That's totally different.
But
you're
how
throwing
hard?
Throwing games?
How hard is
although,
it?
Although, didn't Shoeless Jackson have a really good series, World Series?
Yes. I'm sure, I don't know.
Yes, and I think that was part of the story.
Did you see the movie?
Field of Dreams.
Yeah, but who can remember every detail of every movie? I mean, I saw that movie 25 years ago.
Yeah, but I thought that he was the one out of all of the White Sox that really
was grinding.
He was grinding, actually had, but I'm sure he was involved, but who knows?
Even if they have no evidence that he didn't bet against his own team, how hard is it to believe that maybe he told one of his boys, hey, you might want to bet on the Dodgers tonight?
Yeah, I don't know. He doesn't strike me as a guy who's going to like take a dive just to win
a bet. I'm not saying he took a dive.
Or have somebody else take a dive to win a bet. Like he
seemed like he was a degenerate.
Well, he's definitely, nobody's arguing that. He's clearly a degenerate. But I just feel like, especially now that he's passed, just honor him and his family. Just give him a bust. What's the big deal?
So basically because time has passed and he died. Because let's say initially, going back to 1991, let's say.
Yeah.
Or 1997. Mm-hmm. Pick a random year. In 1997, do you think he should have been in the Hall of Fame?
I mean, that's over 20 years ago. I don't know what I would have thought in the late
90s. If he was healthy. He was healthy. He's bouncing around.
Because you're basically throwing
cards.
Him a bone because he's dead.
Yeah, hook him up because he's dead.
Right.
I feel bad.
But when he was alive, were you okay with the ban
for
what he did?
I don't really care. I don't really care about Charlie Hustle.
I'm going to answer the question for you. He would never have allowed him to be in the Hall of Fame when he was 100% healthy. He's changed his
I'm changing
his
my tune right now.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that gambling is now widespread It's accepted.
Okay, but it wasn't at the time.
Wasn't at the time, but all the leagues are now taking money from all of the legal gambling operators. It's no longer, you know, in the back alleys and
But you're not supposed to do it anyway.
Still not even today.
Yeah, remember what happened to Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers after they supposedly made a $10,000 bet? The league talked to them and were like, you can't do this.
I almost think it would almost be cruel to put him in now.
Yeah, because he doesn't get to
enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm with
you. It's almost cruel. Like, it's fine. He's in there. There's a bunch of remnants, his bats and sneakers or whatever. They're in there. His jersey, I'm sure, is in there. You know, for some of the records
Fans consider him one of the greatest.
He's one of the all-time greats.
He signed Hit King on a million pictures and baseball cards.
Who really cares?
Let's go to the phones.
Trust me, I guarantee you he doesn't care now.
I know he doesn't care now.
He doesn't have a care in the world, Cakes.
Nope.
75% are with you, though, Cakes.
Of course.
They're going to put him in posthumously.
It's called the voice of reason. he's in the sacred silence now, EB.
Yeah.
Yeah, which sucks.
Mm. All right, who's up?
Let me see. Larry in Annapolis.
People get fired up for chicken poles and Pete Rose poles. By the way, Chick-fil-A ran away with it.
Of course they did.
Thousands of votes.
What's up?
Not a whole lot, man. So listen, I'm a little bit fired up with this one because this is a major, major pet peeve of mine. I can't stand when people or society, we give more reverence to people just because they die. Like, so for example, it's been 30 years, 35 years now, and people will still say that Biggie or Tupac are the greatest rappers when they don't even have the catalog to justify that. Great, granted, supremely talented, but in death, they tend to get overrated. So my feeling is, just like, it would be cruel, almost a slap in the face to put him in now. You've had many, many years to reconsider whatever that lifetime ban or permanent. I mean, when someone gets life in jail, they don't even really do life. There's a set number of years they do that constitutes a life sentence. So they had plenty of time to reconsider letting him in. So to do it now that he's dead, it almost seems self-serving for the MLB itself. So if they did let him in and I were his family, I would pull a TO and I would completely abstain from the ceremony and do my own thing because they had their chance to let him in. He should have been in off of merit. So why now? Again, like, because he's dead? I'm not with that.
Okay.
That's Cakes' logic.
Yeah. I just put him in.
No, Cakes' logic is put him in. That guy's.
I know.
Yeah, he wants to keep him out.
Yeah.
Cakes' logic is everybody gambles. What's the point? You know,
right? Gambling is more acceptable in 2024 than it was in 1989.
Yeah, but it's not acceptable if you're playing the sport.
I understand that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I think society now accepts
gambling. He wasn't banned for betting on the NFL.
Right.
I think the better argument is that there are a bunch of scoundrels in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
A bunch of guys that had a bunch of vices. That, you know, were in trouble for lots of variety of different things. Boozers, drug abusers, guys that were in trouble for, like, you know, domestic assaults and that sort of thing. So why are we drawing this particular line with Pete?
Was Pete Rose doing the bit where he's jotting down, like, the picks, like, on the inside of his hat?
Found betting slips.
Okay, betting slips.
Yeah,
okay.
Betting slips that they found.
But look, they just banned, is it Otto Porter's brother or
Jonte Porter.
Jonte Porter.
Yeah.
Banned him from the NBA for gambling.
Well, see, here's the big difference. He'll never, the only way he goes to a Hall of Fame is by buying a ticket.
I know. But the point is that there is a standard across sports that the athletes or coaches can't gamble on their sport.
Right.
Yep. They knew it.
If you want to have a fantasy football team, that's one thing, but you don't gamble on your sport.
Yeah, but John, that's a huge difference. Jonte Porter, and that's Michael Porter's brother.
Okay, yeah, Michael Porter
was betting on unders and then taking himself out of games. And
right, with his fake eye injury.
He got poked in the eye. I get it's another level.
But we don't really know exactly what Pete Rose was betting.
Yeah,
we don't. But there were like all the bookies and all this. There was no evidence, and I think
that is true.
You can't just create evidence. There was no evidence that he was betting against his own.
That is
team,
true.
That he threw any games. So I think,
but back in 1989,
would you put him in now?
I don't like the idea of putting him in when he's dead. I would have put him in before he died. Now that he's dead, it couldn't be more irrelevant.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Let's go to Gage. Gage, what's up, buddy?
Hey, fellas. There's a buddy here that lives on Capitol Hill that used to work in the clubhouse. And according to him, he never bet against his team.
Right.
But when Pete Rose didn't bet on his team, it threw the bookies off. Does that make sense?
So in other words, maybe the bookies then bet on the opponent.
Yeah, sure.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
Right, that's but that's exactly still different. Happened. I mean, that's not his fault.
No, I agree. But also, I just had a flashback. Remember Rick Neuheisel got fired for being in a fantasy football?
Was it a fantasy football thing, or was it like a squares thing?
Kind of funny.
It was something kind of weird.
Yeah.
It was something pretty...
Did you get him fired? Did you send him squares? I know
you
love squares.
I love squares.
You love them so much.
FanDuel has squares now, by the way.
Yes, they do.
I know.
Yep. Let's go to Josh, Upper Marlboro. Josh, what's up, man?
Yeah, this is infuriating to me. Pete Rose should have been in the Hall 30 freaking years ago. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I don't care if he bet on his team. I think it's a sign of confidence in your own freaking team. We're getting all high and mighty like this is a big deal. If he would have bet against his team, this thing has been investigated for decades now. One thing would have come out by now if there was any chance that he bet against his team. And we have some absolute scoundrels in the Hall. Gaylord Perry covered every ball he pitched in Vaseline and spit, and this dude is in the Hall of Fame. Like, I mean, on and on. Trish Spears, Roger Hornsby, there's a bunch of people in the Hall that did a bunch of things that are worse than Pete Rose, but it would be offensive to put him in now. This was commissioners being on their high horse, Bud Selig and all those folks trying to make some moral point, and it's just absurd that he's not in there. This guy absolutely deserves it. The number of hits, three World Series, league MVP, it's an absolute disgrace that he died without being in the Hall.
Thanks, pal.
And I think it's borderline insulting to put him in.
He was obviously one of the greatest. We could all consider him a Hall of Famer. I mean,
Rick Neuheisel was fired because he placed two bets on the NCAA tournament with neighbors.
Yeah, and that's a joke.
Think about that.
Man, did he ever sue them? Did he sue them? He should have sued them for his entire contract.
Says here, Neuheisel admitted he had placed bets with neighbors on the NCAA tournament over the past 2 years. NCAA President Miles Brand called it totally unacceptable.
Oh, my God. Bringing the hammer
Miles
down.
Miles Brand is the guy that brought the hammer to Bobby Knight, too, I think, right?
Yep. Sounds right.
I mean, that's a joke.
That is a joke.
It's not like he was placing bets with a bookie.
I mean, he should have sued them.
He did. I think he won, it says, $4.5 million in settlement.
Yeah, there you go.
Good.
There you go.
Should have won more.
So dumb.
Jason's outraged by that.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Right.
I'm betting with his neighbors. I mean, come on.
Hey, good thing our company doesn't
bet 20 bucks.
Good thing our company doesn't fire people for betting. We'd be in trouble. Yeah. Be in a lot of trouble.
You got to burn that book.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cakes.
Quite the opposite. They promote the BetQL network.
We encourage it.
Yes.
We encourage gambling.
Coming up next, it's Game Show Wednesday. Your chance to win Metallica tickets. You can call in now at 800-636-1067. All right, I've been giving away Metallica tickets every day. Going to hook you up now on a Game Show Wednesday. Cakes has gone through the old school Metallica songs.
Through the catalog, yes, JP, that's correct. Going back into the inner recesses of my brain.
How many official albums did they put out?
Oh, that's a good question.
Like they have like 20 or 10 or?
I'm going to go 11 or 12 full length albums.
Like new albums, not like reissues or remasters.
Not like, right, like studio albums, I'll say it's 11 or 12.
It's 11 studio albums.
Okay.
Eight live albums.
They have some, you know, albums of cover tunes they've done, live albums like JP mentioned. But yeah, studio albums, 11.
By the way, I was out of town. I'm always out of town when it happens, but next year I should be able to do it. Ocean's Calling for OAR looked like it had a huge turn.
Oh, I'm sure
it did. I mean, it looks like it's just a smash.
Yeah, that's going to be an every year. That's going to be an evergreen event, I would think, for a long
props
time.
Props to those guys for putting that together.
Yeah.
I mean, the videos and images I saw.
The weather was shaky.
Looked amazing.
Well, it was a downpour when Blink closed the show first night. Downpour. But, I mean, people were just going crazy. They had a good time.
Yeah.
Very
from the
cool.
looks of it. Yeah.
Very cool. I'm going to go to that next year.
All right, so let's get our first contestant up. We'll play, I don't know, how long is the snippet, Valdez? 6-7 seconds of the first tune?
Around there. Maybe a little shorter.
All right.
And if is you it can, why it's that recognizable?
I I think these are more recognizable than the other ones.
You think so? All right, we'll see.
So should I bring up the first contestant first, or just play the
whoever's,
song?
Whoever's been on the line the longest, they get the first crack at
it. All right, let's go to Lauren. Hey, Lauren.
How you doing?
Lauren. Good.
You know, my brother's middle name is Lauren. He hates it because my mom spelled it L-A-U-R-E-N.
Oh, that's such a bad beat.
Well, how should it be spelled?
Well, like Lauren Roberts is L-O-R-E-N.
Oh,
like
okay.
For a guy, it should be O-R. But she spelled it A-U because she wanted to think of her mother.
Okay.
Just a little
catch. How's yours spelled?
Of course, he hates his middle
name. That's why he goes by Matt.
Hello, Ariad. You guys beat me up before I called in to give EB credit for teaching me how to teach my grandson how to ride a bicycle with his method.
Nice. And then why did the guys beat you up?
Because of my name.
Oh, right.
Okay. I can tell he's a little
one trick ponies.
Called it a bicycle instead of a bike. use the word bicycle.
Well, I mean, he is older. He's a grandfather.
Lauren, how old are you?
I'm the same age as you guys. I'm 52.
Oh, you're younger. And you got a grandson?
Like he's an old young headbanger.
Me and my wife, we have 12 grandkids.
Oh, you have 12 grandkids.
How old are you again?
52.
52. I'll be 53 next month.
Did you knock up your wife at like 15 or something?
I had my first at 18, and then my son had his first at 18.
Okay, so you guys started early. Okay, 36. Makes sense.
That's really early.
That's very early.
How many tattoos you got, Lauren?
One, two, three, four.
That's not too bad. What about your old lady?
She has two.
Two?
What are they?
I've got a hummingbird for, and I have a couple of skulls.
What does your wife have?
You have a hummingbird, which is like this tiny little creature.
Hummingbird is like a tribute to my mother.
Okay.
My wife has a
target.
Sorry?
Does she have a target?
No. She has my initials and she has a butterfly.
Mm. But where's the butterfly?
It's on her upper arm.
Upper arm, okay.
I can't believe that.
He's got the gleam in his eye.
I'm just checking. Yeah. I'm just checking, kids.
Are you a big Metallica fan?
Must be.
Yes, huge Metallica fan.
Last time you saw them live?
I saw them on the last tour. I saw them with the Penn State and saw them.
Okay, all right.
Wow, he's all in.
All right, here's your listen. If you identify this song, you'll be seeing them at Northwest State.
He
sounds like he's 75.
I thought he was 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of Wolf and Man.
He's got it. Yeah, this guy.
He's
got a Shazam up and he's got it ready to rock.
It's impossible to Shazam that quickly.
Yeah, yeah. Well done, sir. You're going to go see Metallica's M72 tour with special guests Pantera and Suicidal Tendencies Wednesday, May 28th at Northwest Stadium. Tickets are on sale now, courtesy of Live Nation. Congrats Lauren.
All right, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
Wow, look at that.
Wow, he's there.
And Culpepper.
12 grandkids? Oh, my God.
It's a lot. At 52? He's going to be a great granddad at like
65.
Early 60s.
Yeah.
Good for him.
His family tree is bigger than the one in front of Cakes' house.
It is. It's much bigger.
That's an accomplishment.
It is.
Cakes, were you 24 when Kurt was born?
Let me do the math.
Seems stunned that a guy 52 could be a grandfather.
Was Amy pregnant when you married her?
I kind of am.
You could be a grandfather.
It was not a shotgun wedding.
Yeah. I just think that's early.
No. Very early. I was 24 when I was married. I was 26, I think, when he was born.
Yeah. Not too bad.
Well, Cakes could definitely be a grandfather. His son's older than his age when he had Kurt.
Son's 27.
He's going to be a grandfather probably in a couple years.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, my son's 24. He's been dating the same girl for 3 years.
Yeah, you're not too far off.
Yeah,
yeah, you're right there.
So that you think they'll definitely get married?
I mean, who knows? But I mean,
you
know.
Put the Miami heat on.
I'm not putting any heat on it. I don't want you to do what
I'm
you
saying.
Do.
Eat it,
right?
Yeah, no.
No, I'm just saying.
There's zero pressure from us. I don't care either way. Do what you want to do. You know.
Got to live your life.
But I mean, he's been dating him for 3 years.
Right, is your vibe that's the one?
I don't know. I could see it for sure. You're a great girl. But yeah. And since they got married at like 26. I got married at 26.
Mm-hmm.
That's 2 years.
Is Stevie still enjoying living in Chinatown?
Loves it. He likes it so much
that he got an opportunity because, you know, so he works for this IT company.
Mm-hmm.
And then what they do is then they send you out to like a hedge fund and you do their IT work or whatever. And then the whatever, then you go somewhere else.
Right.
There was an opportunity for him to work 4 days a week in Bethesda. And he said, nope, I'd rather stay in New York. Oh, that's where all my friends are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
York's fun.
He's independent.
Very independent.
Yeah. He's enjoying his time there.
And
good for him.
Not for me. Like when I picked up Kelsey from NYU and I just had to move furniture from her second floor apartment mm-hmm. to my car, it was so stressful. Double parking.
Oh, in New York City, of course.
Not for me.
Yeah.
Fun to visit there for a couple of days for me.
There. Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm not a city slicker.
No. Give me the burbs.
I'm a burbs guy. Not a country guy.
Give me the burbs.
Not a city slicker.
No, he likes it. In fact, I think the only thing he's made, or as far as food is, I think he made eggs one time.
He just eats out.
Everything eats out, everything.
Of course.
Everything's all Chinese.
It's got to be butt expensive, though, right?
It's in Chinatown, a lot of it, so he,
so it's relatively, it's modest pricing. Yeah. Okay.
He's paying, you got a $7 haircut. He's
paying next to nothing in rent.
He's going to get fat.
No, he's still he's back at rugby this weekend. He's still, and he's working out and everything. I actually love it.
He has so many rugby shirts.
He's got all his old britches gear.
All the old britches rugbies are coming back.
I don't even know. Back in style. I watched his first, what do you call rugby games? Matches?
Matches, yeah. Rugby
match. I watched
the
first match. I didn't even realize what they were wearing. What do you wear? Does it look like a rugby shirt?
No. Like modern rugby dudes.
They look like soccer jerseys.
Yeah, they wear like soccer kits, whatever they're called.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not wearing the old school cotton britches, long sleeve rugby shirts. No chance.
I'm going to go in the spring. I'm going to go watch him play.
Rugby matches are fun, but you're not going to know what's happening.
I don't know. I don't know.
Because I went to one a few months ago, and I couldn't have known less about what was happening.
I just get sized when my kid has the ball.
Sure. I mean, they get tackled, then like when they're on the ground, they can still squirt the ball loose to somebody behind them, and the ball is still live.
I don't get it.
I tried to watch some during the Olympics, but I had no idea what was going on.
Right. Yeah.
Wasn't there the one woman that went viral?
Yeah, she's on.
She's on Dancing with the Stars now. Yeah.
Well, I'll never watch that.
Yeah, definitely won't
ever,
watch
ever,
that.
Ever.
My wife had her first Dancing with the Stars practice last night.
Oh, that's right, with her new romance.
Yeah, she having a dalliance already with her new partner,
some Russian guy.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Jess, come over to. I'm going to show you all my moves. Come over to Yuri's apartment. We need private lessons.
Working on the tango.
What's his name? Is Yuri?
I forget.
Sergey.
Boris.
Alex.
Alexi.
Yeah, Alexi.
Yeah.
Definitely an Alexi.
Probably got an Ocho Cinco in his pants.
Sexy Alexi.
I have an Alex Ovechkin in my pants. Want to show it to Jess.
They're going to be a lot of. So what are they doing? Tango?
I think she's choosing the song. She
Isn't
was having
tango
me listen
like
to songs.
One of those romantic dances.
I have no idea.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think I have anything to worry about, EP.
Jess, don't say yes to me.
No, I didn't look at the guy or anything like
that.
You're
just very confident in your.
I heard he's flamboyant.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Got it.
I got you.
Personality's flamboyant.
All you need to say.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand.
All right.
I get signals. I can understand. I know this.
All right,
I know
we'll
this
come back with EB's entertainment page here on the Junkies.